Well, thank you. I don't know. Thank you. Greg, I'm going to need you up here in a little bit. You guys can be seated. Glad no one said speech. You know, I'm glad. I am thrilled. I am thrilled to be your pastor. Greg said he was going to try to make me cry today. Was that your best effort, Greg? I'm just wondering. Today we're going to be talking about, we're in that chapter 3, we're going to be looking at the Church of Philadelphia. And, you know, it's interesting, the Church of Philadelphia, God didn't have anything bad to say to them. Jesus didn't have anything negative to say. I'm sure there was things in there that could be addressed, but he didn't have anything to address on them. And the church in Philadelphia was really formed, Greg, I really don't need you to go too far, just so you know. All right. The Church of Philadelphia was really formed by two brothers. They founded it. We know Philadelphia as what? The city of brotherly love. You know, we see that type of thing. And, you know, I look over the 11 plus years that I've had the privilege of being here. I was trying to think, what has made the difference here? And I'd like to say it was me. But it wasn't. It really wasn't. Think about how many years ago was it that, I think it was probably almost 8 years ago, that North Hills and First Baptist started fellowshipping together. A pastor, Eric Reamer, and I had been praying together for several years, probably 2-3 years before that, had like hearts, like mind, and God brought us together, built on brotherly love. We were the leaders of the two congregations that he blended together, and that was the start, I believe, of God bringing transformation to us. When I got here, my desire was that God would make us a faithful witness to him. That was my prayer from day one. And I don't mean to, I tell my wife all the time, I say something, you take it two ways. One makes you feel bad, one makes you feel good. I always meant it to make you feel good. We weren't really that faithful of a witness to God at that point. There was glimmers of it. But it had to be fanned into flame. And then, you know, some 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, Greg moves up. And I look at where City View is today, it's built on brotherly love. God has been slowly transforming our church into the Church of Philadelphia. Are there things that are wrong in our church? Of course there are. But we're a spirit-filled church, seeing lives changed because of that brotherly love. Jesus said what? They will know you're my disciples by your love for each other. And I look back and I see Greg standing back there, and I want you to know I have learned so much from Greg. You know, this young guy coming in many ways, I feel mentored by. I mean, I've learned a lot. I mean today, look, I'm wearing kind of this gray cardigan, the tails of my shirt. You know, they're hanging out. Oh, I'm supposed to have my top button buttoned on. There's different things. There's different. Really, got to be buttoned. Is that how you hit the high notes? You know, or is it the tighter jeans that make you hit the high notes? I don't know. You know. Now I don't have skinny jeans. Just so you know, they're boot cut. They're a boot cut jean, but they are dark. Where's Robin? Robin. I don't know, Robin liked the dark cut jeans, so I got dark cut. There we go, she's got a thumbs up. So they're dark cut. But I've learned a few other things from Greg. And Greg, this is where I'm going to need your help here, because I'm not exactly sure how to do it. I hear that you have to somehow cuff your things up. And I also learned that the socks you have underneath are really important. So I have, if you see here, I have my Captain America socks on. You know, they're red, white, and blue, the big seeds, got the little wings on it. But so I realized that that was real important. How do you do this, Greg? We've got to get these cuffed up I'm learning that these things are essential for people coming to know Jesus. And we got one more here. That would be really weird if just one leg was cupped, right? You know what was funny? I thought I was buying these socks as a joke. And last night in a small group, I saw someone who had his Superman socks on. I won't mention who that was, Vince, but he used to have a cape on. Greg, I'm not done yet either. Yeah, a couple other things that I've learned that are really vital about reaching people is hairstyle is important. So I thought maybe you could come up here. You gonna come up here? You're not gonna do this? Because I'm prepared. I figured I gotta take the cardigan off because I'm prepared. To do this here. Actually, I'm not prepared to do this, but stay up here though. This is where I might cry. In all seriousness, I love this man. It's funny, I've been saying, I never thought I would use words like this. I was with a guy named Patrick Avery yesterday at a men's breakfast in Albany, and we were talking, and guys, this is going to sound really strange, all right? But guys can have a kindred heart with someone. And that's how I feel with you. My brother's not here today. I was worried that he was going to bring my father down. My father wasn't feeling well, so they didn't drive down. But my brother, what's he do at all the weddings and different things? I mean, he is crying. I remember we did a 50th wedding anniversary for my parents. And he's up there, and he's bawling, he's going down. And I would just laugh at Jeff all the time, just because he's crying. Because generally, I'm just not a crier. But I think about our relationship. And, I want you all to know, I may not be on staff here at City View, but I pastor with Greg in the Church of the Capital Region. I may not be a part of this congregation as far as on staff, but I'm a part of the congregation. I sign a membership, and until God moves me somewhere else, I'm a member here. I'm going to support financially City View Church, even though probably the next 4 months you won't see us on a Sunday here. That's what God is. That's what it is. That's what we are. It's in Christ. And I've had people who are there for me. My brothers, my family, Pastor Al, I know I could always call on them. But Greg's a guy who has had my back. I was having a meeting with this one time. There was a big guy. I mean, he's bigger than Greg is now. And we're meeting in the office down there. It's Alan's office now. And he's just loud. So this big guy, he's an ex-boxer, huge, big guy. And he's getting loud as he's talking. And I get a text from Greg. You okay? You need me in there? Afterwards, I'm saying, what would you have done? I mean, if I needed you. But you know, he would have been in there. I don't think I've ever met or had someone in my life who stood for me and was loyal to me as you. And I just love you, brother. I am so grateful for you. Thank you. I got through that part. I didn't cry yet. I thought, you can go sit down now. So I made it through that. I figured if I get through that without crying, I can probably get through the rest of this without crying. So this Church of Philadelphia, we go and we look at it. It's known Church of Brotherly Love. There's a number of things that it was known for. But do you know one of the things in the Church of Philadelphia? Is there a slide that talks, right up there, number 6. Do you know what the longevity of what this church was? It was some 1,200 years. We're going to talk about some of the things in it, but a big part of it had to be the love they shared for each other. That's what gets them through. And you know, that's what I believe God has done with City View Church, First Baptist Church, or First Baptist Scotia Campus. I think I said that right. Is he has created a love here that will propel us further. And I use the word us. I'm part of it. Continue to be a part of it. There's one scripture I wanted to read, and I asked Dan to read. Dan, I love having Dan around. Dan, he's like way smarter than I am. And he can pronounce big words. I have a hard time with small words. But as we were worshiping today, and we sang that song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Sorry, I can't do this, Greg. Every time we sing that song, I go back to this little boy standing next to my father as he's singing this song with all his heart. And it took me to Revelation 5. And John is saying, I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and look into it. And when one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. So he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns, with the 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out to all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when... lost my place there. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp, and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. You were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, every language, and every people on the nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests. See that, Vinny? To our God, and they shall reign on the earth. This whole idea of why we're here, why we experience this brotherly love, it's because of Jesus and because of what he has done. It's because of who he is. That's why we're able to come. That's why we're able to worship. That's why we're able to see God transform our congregation into this church like Philadelphia. That's what it's all about. So as we move forward to look at these few scriptures and talk about them a little bit, I'm going to ask Dan to come. He's going to read the scripture. We're going to look at verse... that thing's not on? There must be a way to turn it on.
I imagine so.
I thought you were smarter than me.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Good.
Is this mic on?
Yeah.
All right, now. I think that's on.
Slightly.
All right, there you go. Come on up here and read it, Dan.
To the church in Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thanks, Dan. Just hold it down.
Hold it down.
Mm-hmm. Then you can sit down. So we first look at the scripture here, and we see a few things. There's 4 points I'm going to pull out on it, but before we do, let's look at it. The words of the Holy One, the true one who has the key of David. Who is that? We saw it earlier. He talked about out of David's root. What Jesus is saying here is Jesus is speaking to the church, and the people knew that this is Jesus, the true one. Jesus is King. If we would see that and we'd look at the has the key of David, we'd understand that's what he's saying here. That's why these words are written in red. They're Jesus' words. And he's saying, I'm the King. I'm the one. He's the one who gets to sit. We went through this a few weeks ago. You know, where is Jesus right now? Where? He's at the right hand of the Father. A lot of people, Jesus is in my heart. No, Jesus isn't in your heart. His Spirit is in your heart. All right? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in all of glory, deserving to be the King. And he's talking to the church of Philadelphia. He's saying, that's what it is. And he says, if there's a door to be open, I'm the one who opens it. And if I open it, nobody can close it. See, and this is so important for us to grasp the perspective of who Jesus is. You know, we tend to have this Galilean Jesus image, right? This nice guy Jesus walking around healing people, touching people, loving on people. But we need to have a perspective of Jesus as the King of Kings. By him, by his powerful word, he holds all things together. This is who Jesus is. There wasn't anyone worthy to open up the letters, the seals that we read there, but Jesus. There wasn't anyone worthy to make a way for us to be with the Father forever, but Jesus. And I think Jesus is saying here to the church of Philadelphia, you got this, you understand this. He goes, I know that you have little power, but you have kept my word. And you have not denied my name. Why haven't they denied his name? Because they have a proper understanding of who Jesus is. And we don't know what kind of times we're facing in the future. But I can tell you, the way to get through this is going to be having that proper understanding of who Jesus is. That's how we get through it. That's how the Church of Philadelphia got through 1,200 years. I mean, there is persecution. Eventually, when they ended some, like, 13-something or other, it was because Islamic troops came in and wiped them out. They understood that. They understood that all that time, through all that persecution, all that thing, it was Jesus. How do we get through this? It's going to be Jesus. because you have kept my word about patient endurance. You kept it. You hold fast to what you have, Jesus tells the church. I want to encourage you to hold fast to what he has given you. That's going to be the key. That's what's going to make City View last for generations or until Christ's return. It's Jesus. I got four words I want to throw out to you today. First one is focus. First one is focus. It's interesting. Jesus said, I know your works. Now, the word is focus, okay? I'm going to have three more words. Stay with me here. All right, you're in what grade? Third grade? Trust me on this. The first word of four is focus. Jesus says, I know your works. What does that say? It says Jesus sees what's going on. Jesus, you go through any one of these seven letters, and you hear basically the same thing. Jesus seeing what's going on. What's Jesus paying attention to? Is he paying attention to the political world? Is he paying attention to all the stuff going around the world, our whole world? We get the idea that Jesus is paying attention to the church. Jesus is looking at the church. Jesus is looking at us and how we respond to him. Jesus is focused on us. What do we focus on? A lot of times we're focused on all these other distractions. Heard someone say, I'm going to step on toes today, but it's okay, it's my last day. Hey, we probably got the choice between Hillary and Trump, right? Let's think about it. We got Hillary and Trump. Maybe you like them. I don't know. I heard people say, well, we got to vote for the lesser of two evils. Really? Is that what God has called us as the church to do? To vote for the lesser of two evils? Does God ever want you to vote for evil? How much less is one than the other and makes it better than the other? Well, we're to stand for what? Righteousness. No one else said amen. Amen. But we get focused on all this thing. Oh, our nation, our country. Greg and I, and I see Jeff and Steve and some others, we were with this thing, a group of pastors recently. And at a time, we had a time to pray for America. And it was amazing. I found so many were more concerned about America and what's happening to America than they were about what God desires. What does God desire? He desires that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. He desires that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus. We know that's his desire. And what did he tell us as a church? He tells us we ought to be focused and concerned on that as well. Tell us to go. But we get caught up with our comfort, our convenience, our way of liking things. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Jesus is saying the things we focus on are very important. And the question we have to ask ourselves as a congregation placed here in Scotia for a time such as now, what is it that we're focused on? Are we focused on our comforts? Our wants, our desires? Or are we focused on the things that God desires? And I can really honestly say that I look back with our relationship with Eric and now with Greg, God has been moving us so that we are more focused about others and about their eternal destiny. Because let's be honest, at some point, America's going to end. It may be when Christ returns, that's the end, but even if it lasts that long, it's temporal. But the eternal destiny of every person, every soul, is on God's perspective, on His sight. And the question we have to think about as a congregation, what is it that's important to us? Another verse about focus is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who knows Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 by heart? Someone does here, right? Who's going to stand up and say that? Steve, nice and loud.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight.
What are we to focus on? What are we to pay attention to? That's how we demonstrate our trust in God. Do we lean on our own understanding? No, we acknowledge Him, and what is it that He's for? And as we follow Him, what does He do? He makes our path straight. He's the one who dictates what we're to do. A few months ago, it was February 7th, sitting maybe where Sierra's at. I heard God say, Jay, it's time for you to leave. You've done what I've asked you to do. What's next? You know what? Oh, I want you to go be a shepherd of the region. Really? What's that mean? What's that look like? How do you get paid doing that? You know. But you see, we acknowledge Him and He leads us. We stay focused on Him. In Hebrews chapter 12, listen to this. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at, where? The right hand. See where Jesus is? Anyone ask you where Jesus is, you can tell them. But do you see that? What are we to do? We're to look to Jesus. Who's the author and perfecter of our faith? Jesus. We're to remain very focused on Jesus. Think about Peter. Remember, we get on Peter a little bit because he got out of the boat and he started to sink, right? Who else got out of the boat? Nobody. And we know that. Peter got out in the boat, he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on the water, stopped looking at Jesus, he began to sink. What's going to be the key for City View? For us to be remained focused on Jesus, on His desires, on His wants. Heard somebody kind of say recently, oh, you know, you guys are just trying to please everybody. Really? No, there's only one person we're trying to please. We're trying to bring everyone along that line. It's Jesus. It's Him. It's Him crucified. That's what it's all about. And that's who we are at City View. That's what we're going to continue to be about Him. The second word, number two, patience. Patience. These are one of the things you don't ask God for, right? You pray for patience, you may end up with 6 kids in your home, 4 under, 5 and under. What was that word, Adrian? You said something really important there. Patience. We read about in Hebrews 2 about Jesus. He endured. I'm going to accept that's the next word. But patience, he followed through. He walked through God's plan. He followed that. He kept on that. Patience. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Now, how do you guys wear these tattoos? They're hot. I don't know how you... Oh, they're not like this? You can't move yours? As... Be patient in tribulation. What do we do in tribulation? We want to get out of Dodge. We want to get out of here. How can we make ourselves comfortable again? How can... And it turns to be about us. The patience in tribulation, how do we do it? We remain focused on Christ. This world isn't all it. But we live as if it is. We're to be patient. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. What's patience talk about? Patience really talks about trust, doesn't it? It talks about who is it that we really trust? Because we know that He takes care of us. When we become impatient, we're trying to make it happen on our own, doesn't it? One of the things that I'm so thankful for this congregation is how you walked with us. In my family. I look here and I see an amazing woman who God has worked amazingly in her life. Who last weekend stood before 50, 60 people and confidently shared her testimony and how God has worked to a person that you remember couldn't even look you in the eye. Who as soon as church was over was out in the car waiting for me to come. Now I have to wait for her. Isn't that amazing, guys? Good, I made it through the second thing I thought I would cry about. But we patiently endured that. And we see what God has done. See, that's the idea of patiently. Waiting patiently. Only God could transform Adrian. Only God could transform our lives. And He seems to do it on His time. Maybe because He's God. We're not. A couple of other scriptures talking about patience. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Being patient. Be still before the Lord, Psalm 37, and wait patiently for Him. With all humility and gentleness, from Ephesians 4, with patience, bearing with one another in love. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. How do we walk with each other patiently? You know, I see how people's lives are being changed even today here. And it's as we walk patiently, and this can be really hard. But we love each other, we endure with each other, we walk patiently. Leads us into the next word about endurance. Isn't it interesting in the verse there, he put those two words together. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance. And He said, I will keep you. These two go hand in hand. Many of the scriptures we say can go together on this, but this idea of running the race, how do we run the race to finish it? You take off too fast, you burn out, you can't finish the race. I'm getting to the point where I can't run anymore. I'm going to need you all to help run. What does endurance do? Romans 5, 3 and 4. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Know that suffering produces endurance. All right, so those tribulations that we wait patiently through, it produces endurance in us. And what does endurance produce? Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I remember one of my pastors, Jay Francis, we're sitting some 20-some years ago on Erie Boulevard, and he says, "Hey, Jay, I think God has some things for you in the region." And I'm thinking, yeah, that's good. He goes, however, he needs to prepare you for it. So he's going to bring you through the deep. He's going to bring you through the sufferings, the trials, and the tribulations. Why? Because he has to produce in us a character to match the calling he has for us. So as you're going through different things, as you're going through hard stuff, sometimes it's because of our own stupidity. But sometimes it's about God leading us through, because he has a call in our life and something he longs for, and he has to prepare us to match that. You know, I said, when God said, "Jay, you have to go be a shepherd of the region." Really? Me? Why me? There's got to be other people who are better at it than me. Me? But he's producing that. I don't know what it's going to look like. I have a hard time telling people that. He's saying, do it. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he'll receive a crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." See that what James is saying there? Blessed is the man who remains steadfast, that endurance. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. James again, "Count it all joy, brother, when you meet trials of various kinds. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," endurance, okay? "Let steadfastness," endurance, "have full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Again, James, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." Endurance. It's key. And it's hard. Because we'd like to just give up. We'd like to just quit. We need to push forward. The Church of Philadelphia, they remained focused on God's mission. They remained focused on Jesus' commandment about loving each other. That's why the church is founded on brotherly love. They patiently endured. The fourth word, if I was to throw it up there, is faithfulness. They remained faithful. Proverbs says, "A faithful man will abound with blessing." Faithful. Jesus says in Luke 16, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. The one who is dishonest in little is also dishonest as much." Do you see what he's doing here? Is he puts us on this path to create faithfulness in us. And he sees, are we faithful with this? He'll give us more. We walk with that more. Faithfulness. "If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments," says, "God will set you high above the nations of the earth," in Deuteronomy 28. Do you catch that? Faithfulness. You know, there's a responsibility that we have after we've come to know Christ. The faith that we have isn't ours. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't conjure it up. We didn't make it happen. But, you know, there's a responsibility that goes with it once we have it. To be faithful, to obey him. That falls back on us. It falls back on the Holy Spirit enabling us to do it, but it falls back on us. Are we remaining faithful? Are we doing what God is telling us to do? 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That's how we're to live. In the New Century Version, it says, we do what we believe. We do what we believe. If you say you believe something and you don't do anything about it, you really don't believe it. You see, you have this mental idea of, well, this is what this is about. We do what we believe. You know, that's something that we're doing here at City View. We're doing what we believe. We believe God has said it's about His desire. That's why we set out to see more people come to know Christ. That's why you see so many people doing foster care, doing adoption, and doing these type of things. Because it's on God's heart. He's rescuing people. That's who we have become. And I want you to know, God is so proud of you all. He's proud of who we have become because we have faithfully obeyed Him. We look at the fruit of the Spirit and we see kind of these attributes in others in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We become more and more. It's really a picture of Jesus, isn't it? And people start to see Jesus in us. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do keeping his commandments make him love us? No. He loves us. But you know what keeping his commandments indicates? Our love for him. It doesn't make us deserve his love. But it's like fruit on a tree. We know what kind of tree it is by its fruit, don't we? And the question we have to ask is, what kind of fruit do we have? And I believe at City View we have begun to see fruit blossom. And people can recognize who we are and whose we are. See, the way we live our lives indicates what we believe. I hope, my prayer is that I could stand before you and say something along what Paul said. Follow my example as I have followed that of Jesus Christ. I pray that you follow Jesus' example and that the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life and how you interact with other people. Because this is going to be it's going to be vital for the next stage at City View. And Adrian and I might be not here all that often, but we're here with you. We're part of you. I mentioned earlier, I signed the covenant. I'm not breaking covenant with you all. You may have me in a bit different position for a while. But we're here with you. We want to continue to walk with you and seeing what God has.